Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me begin this morning with three brief stories of experiences of mine, which I trust will aid us in understanding the message that Jesus delivered to his followers in the book of Luke and Paul's admonition to the church in Corinth. Hopefully they will help us in applying this to our personal lives as well as to our church life today. On the Sunday we celebrated my 50th anniversary, my niece Rachel informed me that she had three tickets to the Yankees game that coming Wednesday and wondered if I wanted to go with her and with her son Joe. Now, being a Yankee fan for many years, but not having been to one of their games in ages, it's much cheaper, you know, to watch it on TV and you get a much better seat. I said yes to her, even though I had a pile of items that needed my attention before taking off for my week at Yale. You may remember that on that particular Wednesday, the metropolitan area set records for heat. But how could I turn down a free ticket? I should say that I paid for the hot dogs and the beer, which cost me 50-some dollars, and the ticket was only 22. But I would not destroy my reputation of being the loving, generous uncle. The seat was way up on the top deck above right field, which meant I could see all the players except the right fielder, and they all looked like midgets to me. But I was glad that there was a roof over us and a fair breeze up in that high atmosphere. So it was really a perfect day, at least in terms of the weather and the cold Budweiser Light and the hot dogs. The Yankee pitcher for that game was Phil Hughes, who has had his goods and his bad days. Wouldn't you know it, this was one of those bad days. And he was yanked after just four innings and was followed by several relievers, at least one of whom pitched to just one batter. And the Yankees lost 10-5. Phil Hughes could not finish what he had started. He couldn't go all the way. Story number two. As you know, I have friends in Brazil, one of whom, Antonio, is an artist. The last time I was in Brazil in February, he had an exhibition at the National Art Gallery in Campinas. His artwork has been very well received. But back in his studio, I came across a piece that I found very moving, but it was obvious that it was not completed. I asked Antonio why. He said he had lost interest in it. But his friends insisted that he keep it in the hope that maybe someday he would return to it. Antonio Terci Sobrino could not go all the way. He had lost interest. Story number three. Last summer, I was given a house tour of a mansion here on Long Island. It was one of those fundraising sort of things. The person leading the tour, one could tell, was in love with the facility that he was showing off to our group. He exhibited a sense of pride in this house as though he had been the owner or the builder. Then he took us to a part of the house that looked quite different from the rest. It was not really architecturally different. Rather, it was that the wood finishing was definitely of a cheaper quality. It was also quite obvious that other finishing touches were not there. It almost looked like the unfinished upper floor in the house I grew up in, which when I became college age was finished off and made into my own apartment, like a residence. The tour guide informed us the house was never completed. In fact, as he pointed out, there were several other things that were part of the original design for the house that became discarded. The owner had run out of money, could not go all the way, too costly. In our gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus describes what is involved with taking on the project called discipleship. His followers needed to know that there was more involved than simply receiving the benefits and the joys of the kingdom when it would come in its fullness. Working for the kingdom made its demands. It is the kingdom of the suffering servant. It demands such attention that this may be in conflict with other demands in one's life. The language used in the scripture lesson that Peg read this morning uses brutal language in commenting a list of priorities and what one needs to consider before jumping into this thing called discipleship. It's costly. It demands that one stays focused. It means hanging in there. It demands going all the way. Jesus said that discipleship demands primary and undivided attention. Now let me take you back to my three stories. A baseball pitcher needs to keep focused. An interview a few years ago with Roger Clemens, the ace pitcher of the Yankees at the time, the year that he had a record of 19 wins and only one loss, which is quite amazing, said that when he pitches, he is concentrated entirely on the batter standing at the plate. He does not hear the cheers or the boos of the fans in the stands. He pays no attention to other matters which may occupy his thoughts and concerns when he is not on the mound. He knows the job that he is called upon to perform. And as long as he is on the mound, he is into his task all the way. I think many of us can no doubt identify with my artist friend Antonio. Many are the projects that we begin, but then we lose interest and we abandon them. I started to read this book this summer, but, and you can add whatever is your excuse. I started making such and such, but it's still sits there. I just can't bring myself to go back to it. There are other things now occupying my time and my interest. I once belonged to a particular organization and I was really quite involved as a member, but there doesn't seem to be anything I get out of it anymore. So though I still pay my dues, that's about it. Or many of us can identify with the house builder. He had great ideas, but he was not considering the cost involved. And therefore, his work ended up incomplete. Not because of lack of interest, not because of lack of focus, but because the demands were more than he could meet. Do these stories speak to our personal spiritual life? Do we live a focused life? Or do other attractions keep us from giving our all? Did we once have a spiritual experience that seemed to motivate our commitment, but now the motivation is really gone? Or are the disciplines demanded of us too much? Do the stories speak to our life together as a congregation? Are we truly focused in our life here? Are we clear as to who we should be and what we should be doing in this particular congregation located in this particular community? It won't be long before our nominee committee will look for people to serve in the various capacities for a term of 3 years. And the question for them will be, what are the commitments of our members? Is the interest in the church still there, or are people into so many other projects that demand their time, and their once active commitment is now like a picture left unfinished? For others, maybe the words we hear almost every Sunday as we come to the time of that prayer of dedication, and we indicate we would offer up to God not only the cash or checks placed in the offering envelope, but we would offer our time, our talents, our very selves. That's a bit more costly than what we ever figured out when we first began participating in building God's kingdom on earth. And yet there is another word that needs to be said, both about the message that Jesus presented to his followers, and I think it needs to be said as well about the three stories I shared with you. Phil Hughes knows that even after that Wednesday game, there are many more innings that he will be called upon to pitch. And he will be called upon to exhibit the same concentration, the same focus, again and again. All the way is a long way. For my friend Antonio, I would hope that he would continue with brush and paint and canvas to create the pictures he needs to create all the way. And I trust that the building of the kingdom of God is a building that is forever going on. All the way is a long way. As I was preparing this sermon over a week ago, because I knew I wouldn't have time during my stay up in at Yale, I realized that this Sunday, being July the 1st, we launch into the second half of this year, 2012. This congregation is established on the work of those who went before us. We're thankful for those who kept pitching inning after inning, focused on the tasks that needed to be done, even though distractions were all about them. We are thankful for the artists who moved from one canvas to another during this period. Yes, sometimes leaving vivid pictures in our memories and in the historical records of the life and mission of this congregation. Rejoicing that the full picture is yet to be seen in this ongoing panorama. We're thankful for the builders who built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, calling others to join them in establishing the kingdom of God. All that was a challenge, as is what can yet be. That is, if we are in for the long haul, if we are committed to go all the way. Let us pray. O Lord, we would join with the hymn writer. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Amen.